Simon the leper, and you thought your nickname was bad. When he was in the house of Simon the leper, there came a woman having an alabaster box of onsell ointment. Did the Bible say something different? An alabaster box of reasonably priced ointment. Y'all pray for me, it's early. An alabaster box of very precious ointment. That means it's super expensive. Something very significant to her. And she poured it on Jesus' head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? In other words, why? Why this waste? And I love how Jesus fights why with why. It's like my kids, you know, why do I have to do the dishes? Well, you know, why do you have to eat? You know, so Jesus says, why trouble you this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, for you have the poor with you always, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, and she did it for my burial. And verily I say unto you, and this is what he says, wherever the gospel is preached, anywhere in the world, from here on out, people are going to remember this. So right now we're in a season, and I think this woman in Matthew chapter 26 has something to teach us about why we do what we do. And it gets back to the constant of God's love. Her motive isn't on the surface level of this text, but if we study it, we can just see just an act of worship right here. And let's talk about worship and why we worship. In this passage, the disciples have asked, why this waste? And if you think about it, it's kind of an insult to the rabbi that they've been following with this accusation. I mean, come on, he's a good teacher, but really? The whole bottle of really expensive perfume? I mean, come on, really? And I don't know, maybe you have to ask her. Maybe she values the Word of God and the Son of God more than she values, I don't know, 11 people running around in spandex scoring a touchdown. You worship what you value. And worship nowadays, and just real quick, and if y'all give me your attention for about 15 minutes, I think this message will be a blessing to you. Because worship has been kind of devalued and co-opted a little bit, because now it's almost a genre. Like on your playlist, you got your rock playlist, you got your country playlist, you got your hip-hop playlist, and you have your worship playlist. But worship isn't a genre. Worship doesn't start when we open a songbook. Worship is not an activity that's confined to a realm or even an expression of music. Worship is something far much deeper than that. And I think one of the reasons that maybe the disciples were exasperated is because they thought at this moment, this is a little bit too much. Maybe they have not understood why she's doing what she's doing. Maybe they have something that they need to understand. Why did they feel this way? And I think for many of us, we worship because maybe we have something that we need to give God. Maybe it's like sometimes in music, sometimes in our song service, different people might be just slightly raise their hand. You know, they don't want to get too Pentecostal and get it all up in the air, but they're raising their hands. And it's like, why are you raising your hands? Well, maybe they have something that they need to give God. Maybe they've been fighting all week and they're throwing up hands to say, God, I need you. Maybe they're carrying something that's a little bit too heavy for them to carry it alone. And maybe we should stop judging somebody's worship until we understand their warfare. So they look at her and her act of worship, because make no mistake about it, this is a very precious ointment. It's a very expensive ointment. She has had something, and this is an actual act of worship. And the disciples said, why this waste? And they're just judging her right now. And maybe y'all have come in today fighting with the devil, fighting with depression, and maybe you just needed 30 minutes to say, God, I glorify you. Maybe you needed a Red Sea turned into a highway, or bones turned into an army on your behalf. This is what this woman is experiencing right now. Why? Why this waste? Why? Well, I throw up my hands in worship because I need him, right? I need him like I need breath. He's my present help. He's my friend that sticks closer than the brother. He's the one that never walks the way. He's the one that I can call on in the middle of the night and he'll return my call. He's the one that always picks up. He's the one that's not ashamed to be identified with me. He's the one that knows everything about me, every dirty, dark secret, and still calls me the righteousness of God. He is the one that spilled his blood for me. So excuse me, disciples, if I want to take a moment and give some worship, because everybody worships something. Everybody worships something. So apart from the practical value that Jesus has less than a week to live, this woman is anointing his body for burial with this expensive perfume that she saved up for something special. And she realizes now is the moment. She realizes now is the time. She realizes that she doesn't need to look around to what everybody else is doing because they've gotten used to Jesus. But most of all, she realizes that he's worthy. And it's not a waste. Y'all remember Sister Jetha? Most of you do. When I was first called the pastor of this church, I noticed something about her. She would take paper towels and she'd tear them in half. And I'm like, you're worth millions. What? But she grew up in the Depression, like not not a recession, the Depression, when families didn't know where their next food was coming from. And so once I kind of understood it, I kind of understood why she did what she did. And when I'm looking here at this woman worshiping through this act of worship with this very costly perfume, it kind of makes me understand, you will never understand what somebody does. You will never understand how somebody acts. You will never understand somebody's response until you understand their perspective. You see, in this passage, this woman is doing something that others see as wasteful, but maybe there's something that she was responding to that they hadn't experienced. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now that the woman in this text was someone who knew firsthand the grace of God. And because people sometimes will hear about Jesus, but they haven't really owned their faith, and they don't understand this kind of this worship, because the worship that starts when the songs are over and the crowds have gone, the worship that begins when you reach down and say, God, you deserve this. You are worthy of this. But most of all, the men at the table, when this woman comes into this room, they're like, who is this woman? Why is she doing that? So that takes us to John chapter 12, where we're going to close out the story of Lazarus. And I'm going to show you why the woman that we just read about in Matthew chapter 26, because it says a woman came and brought very costly ointment to him. That woman is the same woman that we're going to see in John chapter 12, and why she was willing to worship. John chapter 12, which follows John chapter 11. Yeah, we get into the deep stuff here at Camp Creek. And I say chapter 11, it just, you know, because chapter 11 of the U.S. bankruptcy code is where you declare bankruptcy. And we're not talking about that kind of bankruptcy. But in John chapter 11, we do see a lot of spiritual bankruptcy where someone is totally incapable of fixing something that's dead in their life. And that's the woman that we see right here. It's interesting because John chapter 12, it says, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he, that's Jesus, had raised from the dead. Now, please understand, chapter 11 might be bankruptcy in the U.S. code, but what I'm talking about here is a spiritual bankruptcy where I know there's dead things in my life, where there's shame in my life, where there's nothing else that I can do except call upon the name of the Lord. And that's the woman that we meet in John chapter 12. And the Bible says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them which sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, so we've identified her, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Now I understand why it was such a natural thing for her to do, to pour out something so expensive and significant, because she had seen Jesus do something. You see, this same story John is recording, he's recording it from his point of view. Matthew recorded it from his point of view. Matthew said it was a woman who came out and poured the ointment. John says, wait a minute. Let me tell you about that woman. She was the woman that saw her brother in a tomb and saw Jesus show up and saw him say, roll the stone away. And when he said that, he called her brother out. So by the time he got to Bethany, she knew, this is the one who raised my brother from the dead. This is the one who heard me cry out and my pity and my groan. This is the one who saw me through the deepest valley of my life. This is the one who stood by me in the dark time. This is the one who never gave up on me. This is the one who gave me help. This is the one who gave me strength. And she didn't give because it didn't. She gave because he was worthy of it. And you know, you invest in what you value. And they saw it as a waste, but she saw it as an act of worship. They said, it doesn't take all that. But she said, you know what? I'll give all that because he's worthy of that and so much more. And the reason they called it a waste is because they didn't understand her worship. If we go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 13, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also, so this woman, what she has done, be told as a memorial. So that's kind of interesting because what this woman had done, what she did, she never said a word. And it's amazing that she was worshiping without words. And I want to let you know that some of the greatest acts of worship will not be done through things that are produced by your vocal cords. Everything I've ever bought on earth has depreciated. And, you know, I've bought some good stuff, but I've bought a lot of stuff that I have regretted. I've never regretted anything that I gave to the Lord. And here it's Judas that's identified as the person making the statement. What a waste. But Jesus says, wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman is going to be told. And I say that because, y'all, we're living in a crazy time right now. I mean, it is crazy. The last 5 years with COVID, with the election stuff going on, it is nuts. And we need the gospel more now than at any time that I can ever think of. Because what we preach and the gospel we preach, it breaks chains. It helps your marriage stay together. And if your marriage falls apart, it helps you breathe in moments when you think that your chest is about to collapse. It is worth it. And Judas says he thinks it's wasteful, but I'm not looking at Judas for validation. I came for Jesus. I worship Jesus. Judas didn't die for me. Jesus did. I'm not concerned about the critics. I'm concerned about the cross. And the variableness of life, with the anxiety that we have, with the stress that we have, even our own behaviors and our faith and our love is a variable. But the constant, what we worship is the constants of God's faithfulness, God's mercies, God's forgiveness, and God's love that looked at dead alien sinners and said, live, and they came forth. If you'd like to worship Christ as we do here at Camp Creek Church, we'll give you that chance as we stand and sing hymn number 8. Hymn number 8.